is, we're not only dedicating them to the Lord. You know that Jesus, in Jesus, or in the church, is the fullness of Christ. It tells us that in Ephesians. So as we come together, there is actually a reflection of Jesus amongst us, his church. The body of Christ is Christ. He's the head, and we are the hands and the feet. And as much as we're dedicating these little ones today to the Lord, we're actually dedicating them kind of to us too, to our responsibility, to our care, to our raising in the ways in the Lord. And yes, ultimately the parents are responsible for that, but we also have responsibilities as a church. And yes, as they dedicate their children in the ways of the Lord, raise them in the ways of the Lord, hopefully that dedication at some point will turn into an inward transformation and a devotion to Christ as the children learn about the ways of the Lord and experience His grace for themselves. And I'm really trusting, as parents, we've got to really pray for our kids and trust that they come to this place. But we do what we can now. And this is the best that we can do for them, actually. This is the best thing we can do for our kids, is to expose them to a godly family and let them be part of something that they can watch and learn and grow. Because there's something of them just learning of the ways of the Lord in His house, too. Maybe they can just close that back door there. Christian, shot. So I'm going to call the parents up a little later, but we're not going to do that right now. I want to talk to you guys, and I want to talk about this life, my life, your life. And I want to ask a question, and this question is really going to be applicable to absolutely every single person, whether you are a family member, whether you happen to have walked through those doors by pure chance tonight. Maybe you're a church goer. Maybe you come to this church regularly and you're part of this church. Maybe you're part of this church. Maybe you are actively involved in serving and you're part of this. Every single person that's here today can answer this question. And that is going to really be the title of my preach and what I want to say to you today. And the title of it would be this, and this is the question. Am I dedicated? I want you to remember that as we work through these things together. And yes, and am I dedicated? Dedicated to what? Am I dedicated to Christ? Am I dedicated to the Lord? Because if you're sitting here and you call yourself a Christian, and you believe that you are, we should be dedicated to Christ. You should be living a life dedicated to Christ. And we're going to jump into that just now and look at it. But my aim in this is to maybe provoke a little, is to maybe disrupt your thinking, is to maybe scratch a little, shake some cages, because this is a good thing. This is a good thing. We've got to audit ourselves. We've got to look at ourselves and go, God's called me to be this. Am I that? Or am I doing my own thing, like VM said earlier? And this is very much a godly concept. This is not a legal thing or a law or a performance thing. This is a godly concept, actually. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 from the NLT, we maybe put that up. But if we were to examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. So there it is in the Bible. He's encouraging you to look inwardly, to audit your own life, to look at it, and judge your own life according to what He's given you, so that He may not have to judge you on that day. And I hope that as I share this afternoon with you guys, that maybe it does make you feel a little uncomfortable. Good. Maybe it does shake your cage a little. Maybe it wakes you up, and maybe you need to be woken up. Maybe you really need to come to the realization that you're not living the life God has called you to live. My prayer is that we, as we sit here, in a sense, we're sitting here with the steering wheel of our lives in our hands, that as we sit with that steering wheel in our hands, as we listen, as the Holy Spirit ministers that He works, that we would be willing to make the adjustments when needed. And I'll maybe tell you a funny story about that. We were I've shared this story with most of you. We were in America recently, and we had some time off, and we rented a car and drove quite far. In total, I think we drove 2,800 miles. That's a lot of kilometers. I don't even know what that is in kilometers. It's like a lot. And we rented this little car. It was a Kia sedan, something, I don't know. And as the strangest sensation, as I was driving this car, every now and again it would like kind of do this. I'm like, was almost felt like I was fighting the steering wheel at times. It's like, what's going on? And I didn't realize, you know, there's obviously a newer car, or a little bit more fancy than the car I have. But this car had a thing called lane assist. You guys know what that is, right? Lane assist. It's got sensors in the car. I don't know how they work. It's got sensors in the car that kind of pick up the lines in the road and help make the minor adjustments to keep you on the road. So, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but technically or theoretically, you could probably just take your hands off the wheel and it would keep you kind of in line. I think it's to help if people fall asleep at the wheel, right? But I didn't know this was on, and every now and again, I'm like, what's this feeling? Like, why is this thing? Then I realized it was on, and I turned it off because I'm like, I didn't want that the whole time. I wanted to drive. but that's a lot like life. That's a lot like where we're sitting right now. You kind of got the steering wheel of your life in your hands, and along the journey of life, you're making these minor adjustments. I didn't even realize there are that many minor adjustments that I've got to be making. I didn't even realize that I was like that close to the line at times. The car would pick it up and it would kind of nudge me back in. And that's pretty much how we, if you realize that we're making these little adjustments when we drive a car all the time just to keep driving in a straight direction, because there's bumps in the road, there's a little bit of a slant in the road, there's a rock might kick your wheel alignment off, your one wheel tire might be worn a little bit, so your car tends to pull this way. And if you aren't making those continuous adjustments, you're in danger of driving off the road and having a head-on collision with somebody else or a tree or I don't know. The end of that could be death. You with me? It's the same for us right now as we live. If we don't make the adjustments we need to make, like VM shared, the end of us could be death. The end of that could be death. God is so gracious to us as He leads us gently by the Spirit. He goes, okay, make this adjustment. Make that adjustment. Make this adjustment. And if we deny Him and we just can ignore that, it's quite scary. It's quite dangerous. So my prayer for us is as we sit here, as we listen, that if the Holy Spirit puts His finger on things and it maybe highlights something in your life, that you wouldn't be quick to make those adjustments. So I want to bring it back to the message or what the purpose of what we're doing today. And we need to move from a moment of dedication like we are doing today with the little kids. There's a moment we're going to dedicate them. There's a moment that we responded to Jesus maybe in our lives, that a moment that we bowed our knee to Him, that we asked Him to come and live in our hearts, that we repented of our sin. There was a moment, but we need to move from a moment of dedication to a life of continuous dedication. The kids too. We need to teach them these things that eventually it becomes them and that's the life they live. It's not just in a theoretical understanding or idea. This is a relationship with the living God. And that for each and every single one of us, that we would experience this. So what does dedication actually mean? And I like getting into words sometimes because they reveal quite a lot. And I think sometimes we lose the understanding of the meaning of words. Sometimes we kind of make them to be something they're not. So let's have a look at that. It means set apart. Dedication, set apart or with purpose. Intentional use for something specific. Dedicated for, so intentionally being used for something specific. The willingness to give a lot of time and effort to something because it is important or intended for a certain purpose. That's pretty clear. Dedication, something's dedicated. I think we know it, so maybe I'll tell you a little story. I used to run a lot. I used to do, trail runs and half marathons, and I used to compete quite a lot. And I used to spend a lot of my time training, a lot. I think it used to frustrate Margot terribly. And then we had Anya, and I pretty much hung up my running shoes, and I wasn't racing anymore. But that's what I used to do. That was my thing. Actually, at some point, I kind of wanted to become a professional athlete. I was, like, really into it, right? So I was dedicated to my training. I was dedicated to my running. Margot, I don't think she can get me to run anymore. She tries. She's like, please, will you go and run, Ross? I'm like, I don't want to run. What's the point? Well, yeah, I mean, there are some other points. But for me, the way I've been conditioned, the purpose of running for me is to win a race. I want to run because I have a goal in mind that I want to win. Maybe, I know my nasals are like that. Paul, this is, again, this is a biblical principle now, because Paul says it. He says, run as to win. You know, we don't beat the air, it's shadow boxing. We train, we beat our bodies into submission. We run this race. And so a dedicated life is focused and fruitful. It's focused and it's fruitful. And you have to have purpose to be focused, and this helps with being fruitful. I want to say that again. You have to have purpose to be focused, and that helps with being fruitful. So if this purpose, I want to win a race, okay, I can focus and I can start training. Maybe you got a different goal. I don't know, I want to lose weight or whatever. Like, maybe I should start that. That'll be my next goal. I'm 40 now. So things are going to change. And I need to stay healthy and not win races anymore. I just need to stay healthy. But my goals are changing. I'm going to go off the topic, sorry. But you need to have, there needs to be something to give, that purpose gives you focus, enables you to be focused, right? And to be honest with you, if I go for a run, I really struggle. It's like, what am I doing? I'm just torturing myself. There's no hope of anything said on the other side of this. So purpose and belonging are the catalyst to dedication. I want to say that. So purpose and belonging to God, who gives us our purpose, are the catalyst for a dedicated life. And that's what creates a dedicated life. It's not what it looks like, it's what creates a dedicated life. It's like it ignites the fire. You know when you're brining? It's like the fire starter. The fire starters don't taste like steak. Steak is the nice thing you eat at the end, right? But something's going to get the fire going. Are you with me? You like that? So, the understanding we need to come to that motivates this kind of life is that we belong to Him so we can live for Him. We need to know that we belong to Him. And the scriptures, let me give you a few scriptures. Romans 14 verse 8 says, if we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians, we were bought with a price. If I've been bought, that means I belong. Romans 8 verse 9, anyone who does not have the Spirit does not belong to Him. So if you don't have the Spirit of God living within you, you're not His. How do you get the Spirit of God living within you? You surrender your life to Him. You bow your knee to Him. You repent of your sins. And you ask Jesus to come and live in your heart. And you begin to follow Him. And He comes and dwells within you by His Spirit. And when this takes root in us, we start living for Him. Right? And we live for Him with purpose. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's quite key to do. It's purpose. Romans 8:28. We're called according to His purposes. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. He's called us to a holy life. Who has saved us and called us to a holy life? You see, this is the purpose. It creates the focus in us. Knowing that we belong to Him and have purpose in Him lights a fire in us. And this fire has focus and it is fruitful. It's focusful and it's fruitful. Focused and fruitful. That's point number one if you're right taking notes. Focused. A dedicated life is a focused life. It's quite simple. I mean, this isn't like rocket science. It's are you focused on seeing the kingdom expand in you and around you? Now, this is very key because am I focused in my life and allowing the kingdom to come in my life? Because it's got to come in my life before it comes around my life and it flows through me. Like what Viam shared, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to him and challenging him things is seeing the kingdom of God come in his life. It's like a little bit of yeast that works through the whole batch. It started as a word that dropped into his heart. It came as a conviction. It began to grow in him. He was obedient, and it actually led to fruit. That's how the kingdom comes in our hearts. And now he's standing here sharing a testimony. It's beginning to come around because it might have affected and might have put its finger on something in one of your lives. Maybe you go, hey, wow, I've never heard that before. I've never seen that. And now the kingdom is beginning to come around him because it started in him. Focused life. Is this what occupies most of your headspace and most of your time? And I've been asked this. Well, I've been accused of being fanatical before. You know, Ross, you guys are fanatical. Like, you're fanatical Christians. I was like, well, I didn't answer in the moment. I should have. I would have probably been a bit cheeky. I was like, that's the biggest compliment I could get. Like, my life, it's obsession. I'm obsessed with the King and His kingdom. I'm obsessed with God and His ways. I'm obsessed with seeing His kingdom come. There's a great obsession to have. Every single one of us, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, should have that obsession. It changes. It's not like it was always that way. When I was young, I was obsessed with surfing. I grew up surfing from a young age. It's all I could think about. It's what I shaped and fashioned my life about and around. It's the way I wore clothes, name brands I liked, the way I walked, like everything. It fashions who I am, my obsession, and it ruled my life for many years. Eventually, I saw it was an idol, and I repented of it, and God removed it from me. But often idols are obsessions. I could be accused of my boat being an obsession. I don't have a boat, for those of you who don't know. I would like to have a boat. That's the problem. That's the obsession. But even that, to be honest with you, I've had to deal with it. I've had to not let it become an obsession. I've had to put it aside. And I think it's my thorn testing me and working me all the time. Keeps bringing me back to that. My wife keeps reminding me, Ross, you're obsessed. No, I'm not. And I'm going to get before the Lord. Lord, hell, maybe I am a little obsessed. I'm just being open and honest with you guys. We've all got these things. Or is it just, it's just me. Yeah. It must just be me. Yeah. A holy obsession. When I was running, I was pretty obsessed with it. It's because I had purpose, focus. Again, that was probably became another idol in my life. I had to let go of at some point. So, is this occupying? And these are just this kind of the template that you hold up next to your life. Ask yourself the question: is my mind space, my thought life, consumed mostly with things of the kingdom and things about Jesus? Because that will shape the way you live. And I'm not saying those of us who work when we go into office, what did Uncle Will used to say? You know, we can't be so heavenly minded that we have no earthly use. And he's right. You can't be like in the clouds. We've got to sometimes be, but we've got to be the kingdom. How does he respond in situations? What has he called me to? Am I trying to reach the lost? Am I wanting to see his kingdom come into these situations and into my workplace? You can be working 24/7 and be obsessed with the kingdom. It needs to be said. You can be snowed under with work, but you can still be obsessed with the kingdom and the king and his ways. And you can make sure that his ways are coming into your life. You can be struggling in a difficult situation, a difficult time in your life where it seems to be consuming everything. But you can be obsessed with the king in that space and his kingdom. The kingdom comes in you and you'll become fruitful as you see it span around you. That brings me to my second point. First point, focused. Second point, fruitful. A dedicated life is a fruitful life. And you can come back to that analogy with an athlete. An athlete is what he eats. You know that story, you know that saying, you know you are what you eat? So you're going to see, if an athlete says he's an athlete and he's training like one, but he's not eating very healthily, you're going to see very quickly he's not going to look like an athlete. It's not going to help him in achieving what he wants to do. So when I speak about fruitful, I'm not talking about a return on investment. I'm talking about the fruit in our life, right? Does the fruit in your life reflect a dedicated life, dedicated to God? And the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. Matthew 7, verse 16 to 21, let's just read 16. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Verse 20, yes. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. That's the Bible. Matthew 3, verse 8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I love the NLT version says this, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove by the way you live. Prove it. Yes, grace has come to you, you've received salvation. Prove it. Prove it to the world. That's what living a focused life and a fruitful life is. It's proving that you've turned to Him. I love fishing, and I spent some time after church last Sunday. I shot through to Strace Bay, and we launched at like 12 o'clock at night. I jump on a commercial boat. A friend of mine's a commercial fisherman. He's got a line fishing boat, and I mean, it's quite an interesting subculture fishing, especially commercial fishing. And these guys now kind of know that I'm a pastor, so they put their best foot forward when they're around me. And it's like, yes, it's irritating. So they go, pastor, and that's my name on the boat, like everything. So they get on the, like I get on the boat, and I haven't seen them in about a year because the last time we fished together, the one crew member, and he's like, pastor, pray for us. And I'm like, and as he says this, he's got a bottleneck full of dacha in his hand. He's about to light it. Pastor, pray for us, man. I'm like, why? Like, for your salvation, maybe. I don't know. Like, and I know some of those guys. They profess to be Christians, but you would never say so. It's by the way they live their life, by the language that comes out of their mouth. Oh my goodness, me. Oh my goodness, you learn a whole new language. It's to you. For every normal word, there's like two swear words. And these are guys that will profess to be, no, yeah, I can't care to you. Just because you sleep in a garage doesn't make you a car. Like, and this is, are their lives bearing fruit in keeping with repentance? Is my life bearing fruit? When they look at me and no one else is looking, what do they see? Do I just do as they do? Because it would be kind of normal. It would be very accepted if I just swore like they swore, or did what I wanted to do, or not want to do, maybe my old life. Are you with me? What is your life, what story is your life telling? What fruit is your life showing? And what would people say about you from watching your life? So I've had the privilege of watching, like I said, watching VM's life for the last couple of months. I see fruit there. Been watching closely. I've been watching behind closed doors. I can hear when the doors are closed and he's fighting with his wife. They don't fight much. Well, at least he hides it. He's very patient. I can learn something from him. I've actually watched. He's watched us fight, yeah. What can people see in your life? But then what can the spiritual forces and principalities in high and dark places see in your life when the door's closed? Because they're the ones that want to have a claim on your life. It's not man, it's them. Remember, our fight's not against flesh and blood. So when the door's closed and nobody else is around, what would they say? What would the demons say? Oh, no, he's a Christian. Oh, no, he's one of us. Hell, we feel welcome here. Do they feel welcome? Do they feel more welcome in your bedroom when the door's closed than the presence of God? It's. Am I shaking some cages? Good. How does your language reflect a life dedicated to grass? You know, the Bible says, "Don't live together before you're married." How willing are you to listen to that? Because if you're not willing to listen to it, are you dedicated to Christ? You're fooling yourself. Because the Bible's quite clear on these things. No, but grace, nothing. The Bible says God's grace enables you to walk free from these things, enables you not to have to go down that road, enables you. The Bible says it. Do this or that, are we willing to do it? Hey, how's this one? This will mess with your heads a little bit. If the Bible says submit and obey your leaders, how willing are you to do that? This will mess with your head. If your leaders come to you and they say to you, hey, there's a need in this area. Would you please fulfill that need? Would you do it or not? If they come to you and they say, hey, like, maybe you need a move. I mean, that's what they did to us. We're leaving you guys at the end of January. You know that. The feeling was, Ross, we feel there's a need, and will you answer the call? And yes, if my life is to reflect a life dedicated to Christ, I've got to be willing to go when I'm called. It's yours. Because just because I have the mark in my hand, I shouldn't be held to a higher standard than you are. We all are held to the same standard, Jesus, because of grace. Because of what he did on the cross to us, this is the standard. It's not higher for me or lower for you it's the same for everybody. And it's because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's because we are now enabled and free to walk away from that kind of life. Or do we just do what feels right and what we can fit into our framework or understanding? That kind of thinking is the definition actually of undevoted. Like VM said, he was just doing his own thing. Are we doing that? Are we living that kind of life? A life surrendered and dedicated to Jesus brings about transformation in a person. You cannot be the way you were. And I want to say to you, I know that firsthand because before I came to Jesus, before I came back to Jesus, I actually got brought up in a Christian family. So I had a cultural understanding of Christianity. At some point, I had a relationship with him, but I had drifted. My car was going very quickly off the road. And maybe your car's going off the road. But I came back to him in 2010. And the person that I was before, I am no longer. Because he transformed me. I was the ugliest, most arrogant, I was disgusting. When I think about who I was, I cringe. But I'm very grateful to my God for saving me out of that. I'm so grateful. So with a dedicated life comes transformation as we give a life to Him. So the problem for us is, as we have to ask ourselves this question, a dedicated life is a focused and fruitful life. Am I dedicated? Are you dedicated? You need to be asking, right now, you've got to be asking yourself that question. Everything I've just said, was that not comfortable for me? Because maybe that's something I'm not willing to surrender, willing to yield to Him. So ask yourself that question again now. Am I dedicated to Him? Because that's our problem. But there's a solution. Because He does say that we can come to Him and we can find grace in our time of need. He's been gracious to us to give that steering wheel to us and say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. You can correct as we find grace in our time of need. And what small adjustments do you need to make in your steering? And this is going to be a moment of just stepping out of faith. What do you need to do to follow Him, to obey Him, to be purposed in Him and bear fruit in your life? So it speaks about Him. And I felt like the Lord just laid this on my heart before we dedicate those children, that we make sure that we dedicate it to Him. And if the Holy Spirit has put His finger on something in your life tonight, and you feel, hey, that's me, I want to give you an opportunity just to actually stand. If that's you, I'm standing, because there's moments, I'm already standing. I'm the first one. If you've got the steering wheel in your hand, you're realizing there's little adjustments that need to be made in your life right now, I want to encourage you to stand, if that's you. And as some of you guys are standing, maybe your car is going off the road. Maybe your car is in completely the wrong direction. And that's maybe because you've actually never given, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus in the first place. You've never given it to Him. And I want to ask us all just to close our eyes now. Can we do that? I'm going to pray for us. But if that's you, and you realize, as I've been speaking now, that your car is going off the road completely. It's not little adjustments. You're heading for a tree, and you're heading for a tree quickly. I want to ask you to be brave and raise your hand. Because He wants to meet you where you're at tonight. He wants to save you. He wants to lead you into a life that you could never dream possible. If there's anybody like that here tonight that knows, while the rest of us are standing, I'm going to pray for them now, but while the rest of us, is there anybody else like that here that you know you're heading for a tree? You want to give your life to Jesus tonight? I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, while we're standing. Anybody like that here? All right. Good. For the rest of us. And for the rest of us, I want to maybe pray for us. Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, that you come to us, that you speak to us, that you nudge us, that you bring conviction. And conviction brings to life when we respond to you, Lord. And Father, I pray that each and every single one of us that is responding to you now in our hearts, it's a step of faith, you know, as we stand. But Lord, it's by faith. As you said, we cannot please you without faith. That Lord, you are working in people's lives right now. And I pray, Lord, that as we surrender these things to you, that you would climb in that driver's seat and you would take the wheel and you would steer us back onto the road, Lord. You would be, and we would be sensitive to you on an ongoing basis, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace and your mercy. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to call up the parents. Well, as I'm calling up the parents, what are they doing? What are the parents, what are you guys doing tonight or today? They're dedicating their children to the Lord and to us. There's a commitment from them, and actually this is a public thing they do because we're a family, we belong to each other. The Bible says that Jesus prays this prayer, Father, let them be one as Him and the Father are one. So we are very much involved in each other's lives. We are very much part of each other's lives. And as they come forward and they commit their children unto the Lord to raise him in the way, them in the ways of the Lord, they also commit them to us and make a commitment to us to allow us to help them raise them in the ways of the Lord, to hold them accountable as well. So on our part, we need to support. We need to love, we need to care for, we may need to speak into their lives at times. We need to help parents raise their children in the ways of the Lord. That's our responsibility as a family and as a community. And I do feel like I need to say this as well. What dedication is not? It's not salvation. You do need to know that. What they're doing now does not mean their children are saved. At some point, their children are going to need to get before the Lord as they raise them in the ways of the Lord and give their lives to Jesus. It's also not baptism. Is he claimed to Whipney? This is dedication. It's different. You need to know that. I'm teaching you guys because sometimes we come into church and we're like, oh, then it's all the same. No, it's not. They're dedicating their Lord, their children to service to the Lord and to us. And I want to maybe call them up. Guys, you want to come up? So it's Benjamin, Andrew Roth, and Gabby or Gabriella. Clitty. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask them a few questions because this is really a commitment that they enter into in front of all of us and you. And I want to ask them a few questions, and they're going to answer. And then I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. And if you're a member of this church, you have a responsibility to answer. If you're a visitor, you don't have a responsibility. Don't worry. We're not going to expect you to raise the kids. and then we're going to pray for them, and I'm going to pray for them, and then we're going to enjoy some fellowship together and some coffee together. So, parents, do you commit to raise Benjamin Andrew Roth and Gabriella Clutty in the ways of the Lord?
Yes.
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 Yes. Do you commit to pray for them? I'll tell you what, I'll do this all and then you can tell me if they don't agree with any of them. Do you commit to pray for them? Do you commit to provide for and protect them? Do you commit to discipline them and nurture them? Will you endeavor to be a godly example to them, always pointing them to Jesus?
Yes.
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 You heard them, eh? Now, guys, this, I know this may seem very formal, but this is important. It's almost like a marriage. Like, they're making a commitment to raise these kids under the Lord, or to the Lord. So, guys, this is to you, congregation. I'm going to ask you this, and you guys have to answer, eh? I'll ask them all, and then you can. Do you commit to loving Benjamin Andrew Roth and Gabriella Clutty? Do you commit to ensuring that they are raised in the ways of the Lord as far as possible? Will we also carry the load of parenthood with them where possible? And will we commit to being godly examples to them as they grow up?
Yes.
Can't hear you. Good. All right. So I'm going to, each of the parents, I've just given them opportunity just to pray. Maybe you come stand a little bit closer, just to pray for them. And if maybe some of the community members, you guys just want to come out and just lay hands on them. We're not going to release a whole bunch of prophetic words over the kids now, but because I'm going to ask you to do this. If you've got a word of encouragement or a prophetic word over the children or over the parents, I'm going to ask you to be faithful in doing this. Write it down or record it in a voice note, because we want to be able to give it to them, because those are incredible moments that parents often draw from when times are tough, because you know what it's like to raise kids. Sometimes you need a reminder that the Lord has this. No one's paying attention to that. Right. So I'm going to let each of them pray. So I'm going to ask you guys, please keep those and then give it to the parents. You go first.
Sorry, I do this better in Afrikaans, so we're going to do it that way. Dankie, Here, vir die blessing om 'n kind in U naam groot te maak. Dankie vir die voorreg om 'n kind in U huis groot te maak. Mag U seun altyd op hom rus. Mag hy U aangesig altyd soek. En mag hy die lewe deurgaan met die wete dat hy altyd by hom sal wees. I just want to read Joshua 1, verse 9. If I can find it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you have entrusted us in raising one of your children, Lord. Lord, you know our life and you know what we have gone through. And it's just a blessing that both Ezekiel and Gabriella are here today, Lord. I pray that you will just give me the wisdom to raise them in you, Lord. And may they both just represent you, Lord, especially Gabriella today. Lord, we dedicate her to you. And may her life be a testimony of your love for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you've loved us enough to give us one of your children, Lord. We are just so grateful. And Lord, I pray that you'd give those that we're entrusting with family to speak into our lives, Lord. And I pray that you would give us the humility to accept what they speak into our lives as well, Lord, as they are with us in this, Lord. We thank you for this, and may your name be glorified, Lord Jesus.
Lord, thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being able to bear witness to this moment alongside the rest of your body, Lord Jesus. With these parents, we stand in agreement, Father, and we commit these children to your care, Lord, to your service, Lord, that they would be dedicated to you, Lord. We commit to raising them in the ways of the Lord. Lord, we pray that we would be good examples to them, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would give the parents supernatural wisdom and discernment in raising them, Father. And Lord, we pray that you would give us grace, kindness, love, and gentleness in helping them raise these children, Father. We accept the responsibility. We accept the privilege and the honor of being part of this process, Father. We commit them to you, and we bless them. In your mighty name, we bless little Benjamin, and we bless little Gabby in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on. So again, as they're making their way to the seats, I want to encourage you guys, if you do have any encouraging words or prophetic words over them, that you would write them down or record them in a voice note and just give them to the parents. I think many times I was quite a difficult child growing up, and I was quite naughty, and my mom had many encouraging words along the way that she drew from, and I think it got her through the difficult times with me, because I was quite something. By the grace of God, he's changed me. Anyway, but it was a lot. Yeah, I'm so lucky just to be family and to celebrate and enjoy this time together. I'm going to ask you guys to join us for coffee. Maybe you can all stand as I pray for us and just close the meeting. Now, Lord, thank you, Father, for bringing us together. Thank you that you have called us family, Father. Thank you that your word says you add the lost and the lonely into family, and that we get to enjoy the privilege of doing life together in you, Father. And I pray that today, even as I've shared around it, life dedicated to you, Father, that by your Spirit you would continuously bring those adjustments, Lord, that you would continuously be like that lane assist, bringing us into the truth, bringing us into your design, Father, and purposes, that as we go from this place, that the kingdom would not only come in our lives, but it would come around us as well, that we would see your name lifted high and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.